This is Power for Living, the Bible teaching ministry of Christ the King Church in Wakefield, Massachusetts. I'm your host, Feliciano Segundo, and our teacher is Father Michael Carl. So get out your Bibles and let's get started.
Well, this is now the fifth Sunday after the Epiphany, and we are almost to Ash Wednesday. That's the 17th of February. Now today, we're going to look at our Old Testament reading a little bit and see how it actually interacts with today's gospel passage. Now, our Old Testament reading was Isaiah 40, 21 to 31. I'm only going to read a couple of the verses from the passage. And verse 21 says, "Do you not know? Do you not hear? Has it not been told you from the beginning?" And then 28, "Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." And now let's look again at the passage from the Gospel of Mark, verses 29 through 39. "And immediately he left the synagogue and entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now, Simon's mother-in-law lay ill with a fever, and immediately they told him about her, and he came and he took her by the hand and lifted her up. And the fever left her, and she began to serve them. Now that evening at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick or oppressed by demons. And the whole city was gathered together at the door. And he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit them to speak because they knew him. And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place. And there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him, and they found him and said to him, 'Everyone is looking for you.' And he said to them, 'Let us go on to the next towns, that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out.' And he went throughout all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons." Now, the Gospel of Mark is, you know, I know all the Gospels are awesome, but the Gospel of Mark is really awesome. And what makes Mark's Gospel different is that it paints a picture of Jesus as a Messiah of action. He's active. He's doing things. He's busy in a good way. Now, at school, we just finished studying the French and Indian War in history, and at my school, one of the things we actually did and found out about the French and Indian War was that it made George Washington a hero. Now, and a few years back, there was a History Channel special called "George Washington, America's First Action Hero." Now, folks, let me tell you, George Washington was pretty cool, but he doesn't hold a candle to Jesus. Look at the passage. Verse 29 says, "And immediately," this is right after Jesus cast out the demon from the man in the synagogue. And let's put it in clear terms. The service was over. And immediately Jesus went to whose house? Simon and Andrew's house, where they saw Simon's mother-in-law sick in bed with a fever. And what did Jesus do? He healed her. No questions asked. The text says he took her by the hand and raised her up. Jesus took direct action. He didn't passively stand by. He actively healed her by taking her by the hand and he raised her up. What does this text tell us about how the Lord may choose to answer prayer? It says, immediately. Now, let's be careful not to get carried away by the immediately part in relation to prayer, because most of us know that we pray and we end up waiting for a while before we see the answer. But what we need to know about this is that when we pray, God is actively and immediately answering the prayer. Remember in the book of Daniel, Daniel prayed a lot, and God told Daniel, immediately after you were done praying, I sent the answer to you. I dispatched Michael the archangel to come give you the answer to your prayers. Now, there was some spiritual warfare intervening in that, and I think that's part of the process. You see, it says in the passage in Daniel, the prince of Persia interfered. Well, that's an allegory for Satan. You see, now, sometimes God, or maybe the proper word is frequently, God makes us wait before we can actually see the answer to the prayer. He's already done the answering, but he's going to make us wait a little bit. Now, why would he do that? And it's not so we can fidget, although we do. It's not so we can fret, although we do a lot of that too. It's so, in the process, we can learn to trust him more. The Daniel passage gives us the impression that Daniel's faith, as you read through the book of Daniel, you see this guy's faith is getting stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger as he goes. That's part of the process. But the immediately part tells us when we pray, that answer is on the way. All we have to do, and this is easier to say than do, is trust him that we'll see the answer. We will see an answer. Now, some of the time the answer may be no, but we'll see an answer. And he's in the process of answering our prayers almost immediately. Now, look at what happens next in the gospel passage. When evening came, after the sun had set, they brought to him all those who were sick and demon-possessed. Remember how our Isaiah passage started out? Do you not know? Do you not hear? I think this Mark passage goes a little of the way to fulfilling that prophecy and showing us that in this case, those people had heard. They had heard about Jesus. They had heard the news about this action-packed rabbi who was going about the countryside preaching, healing people, and casting out demons. They had heard, and they were responding to that hearing. They had heard about this rabbi, and they were coming because they knew somehow, deep down inside, they knew that he was going to meet them right where they were. He was going to meet them at their place of need, and he was going to answer their requests and give them the desires of their heart, which in this case, like this passage, was healing. But they had heard. So yes, they had heard. Now the Mark passage also says, the whole city was gathered together at the door. Now, this is most likely Jewish literary style, much like when we were kids and were trying to convince our parents to give us something that we wanted, and we would say, everybody has one. Anybody remember that? Now, did everyone ever actually have one of those things? No. But this is Jewish style, saying the whole city was gathered. Now, we don't know if that city of Capernaum had 600 or 6,000 or 6 million people in it. Well, we're pretty sure it didn't have 6 million people, but there were lots of folks there, and they were at his door, and they were there waiting. What does the passage tell us? He healed many who were sick with various diseases and drove out many demons. That many word tells you that Jesus didn't just stand at the door, say, all right, everyone quiet down, gather around, hold up his hands and say, be healed. And everyone was healed. That many word, that word many, connotes to us that it was a one-on-one thing. Jesus was laying hands on those people one-on-one, one by one, talking to each one, meeting each one of those needs personally. Because the word is many. He didn't say, well, he healed them all. You know, be healed. He dealt with them personally on a one-on-one basis. So yes, Jesus was a Savior and Messiah of action. He's not sitting by letting the time pass. Jesus is truly this man of action. action, this action hero, if you will, who is acting affirmatively to meet those people's needs. And think about this. If there were all those people gathered at the door, do you think some of them had to wait for a while before Jesus got to them? But what does our Isaiah passage tell us this morning? And those who wait upon the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings as eagles. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint. Folks, they waited for the Lord to act, and they were healed. They had their strength renewed and were healed of being lame. They were suddenly able to run and not be weary because of their condition. Jesus had given him his healing touch, and they were able to stand up and walk for the first time in their lives, possibly, or have their walking ability restored by a healing touch from the Master's hand. So they waited, but they got their need met. What does this teach us? Wait on the Lord. Don't get impatient for the answer, and especially don't try to help God out to get you the answer. But those who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint. And after our Savior and Lord of action healed those people, what did he do? The passage doesn't say that he sat back and gave his first apostles an after-action report rundown. They didn't say, well, man, that was a great night of ministry, guys. Let's just kick back and relax. What did he do? He went out to a quiet place, and he prayed to his Father. Let's not miss this lesson for us, too. If Jesus, God the Son, God in the flesh, all God and all man, went to pray, we probably need to spend some time in prayer with him, too. You see, Jesus was keenly aware of his mission and purpose. Yes, he did all of those amazing things. Yes, he cured all those people and cast out all those demons. But what was he getting ready to go do? He told his disciples, let's go to those other towns and preach to them also, because that's why I came. You see, he went out and he prayed to his Father because he knew of the work he was getting ready to go do, which was to take that good news to all of those other towns in the Galilee. So he prayed, and he took the time to pray. So before we undertake to do any new thing, before we undertake any action, no matter what it is, whatever we're called to do, whether we're called to a school, to a hospital, to a factory, to whatever, before we do it, we need to remember one thing. Scripture tells us to do everything as if it were being done by for the Lord. And therefore, we need to pray before we go do it. So if we want to be effective in our lives and in our work, and in whatever we're directed by the Lord to do, we need to learn to take time to pray just like Jesus did. And that way, we too can become, in our own personal but not boastful way, action heroes for the Lord's kingdom. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us for this week's edition of Power for Living. If you happen to miss any of our other programs, be sure to go to our podcast page at christthekingnorthshore.podbean.com. And you can also visit our website at www.ctknorthshore.org. If this program has been a blessing, feel free to let us know. Write us at Power for Living, care of Christ the King Church, 4 Railroad Avenue, Suite 309 in Wakefield, Massachusetts, 01880. Or you can also send us an email at christthekingnorthshore@gmail.com. You can be a part of this gospel ministry by becoming a patron of Power for Living. You can find out how by clicking the Become a Patron button at the top of our podcast page. That's it for this week, and until next time, remember that Jesus is your power for living.